Hello, my name is Alessandro Bindocci and I am the winemaker and export manager of Tenuta Il Poggione Winery in Montalcino. You can find more information about our wines and our winery on www.montalcinoreport.com or tenutailpoggione.it.
You're listening to iWine Radio. Welcome to Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.
Hi there, this is Andreas Larson.
Hi, this is John Capon.
My name is Mathur Jaffrey.
Hi, my name is Heike Platter. I'm from the Alto Adige region, or Südtirol.
Hi, my name is Paul Dolan. I am absolutely passionate about growing organic and biodynamic fruit for our wines.
Hello, my name is Lorena Garcia.
Hello, my name is Fritz Maytag.
This is Joyce Bach. I'm the author of Foodie Fight.
Hi, this is Lydia Mandavi, founder of 29 Cosmetics.
Cheers, this is Rob Barnett, CEO and founder of VinVillage.com, where wine lovers connect.
Today we have the unbelievable pleasure of speaking with father and son team of Tenuta Il Poggione in Sant'Angelo in Colle Montalcino. We're going to be focusing on Brunello and Rosso di Montalcino and a sister line that is called Mazzone. And there is a Rosso di Toscana and a Pinot Grigio. Delicious, delicious wines. We're going to begin this first half of the program by talking to Alessandro Bindocci, who is son, and he is talking to us from Chicago today. The wines are imported by Terlato. And of course, Terlato is based in Chicago. And then we're going to be making a phone call to Brunello and calling his father, who's the president of the Brunello Consortium. So let's start by bringing on Alessandro, winemaker and export manager for Tenuta Il Poggione. And as I asked before, he travels to the United States three or four times a year. But Alessandro, you also travel to Europe to be the ambassador for Tenuta Il Poggione and also to Japan and China, to Asia?
Absolutely. Good morning. Yes, I travel as much as I can when, of course, it's not the time for the harvest or other focal times in the at the winery to promote Il Poggione and the Montalcino wines. That's something I really enjoy to do, and especially being the winemaker, you know, having the contact with the people that actually enjoy our wines is excellent for me. It's very important. I know this way I can translate the feedback into the winemaking. As you know, as all the winemakers, our judgment on the wine is always, is never the most objective one. You know, they are like our children.
Yes, yes.
So it's important to get that feedback from the people that enjoy our wines.
I would imagine other people do this, but I've never read this before, and I want to ask you about this so fascinating 21st century. You could be, you know, traveling around the world, and you're still able to check in on your wines day to day, vat by vat, by using your smartphone.
Absolutely. That's something that we introduced in our winery, and a new winery that we built in 2004. You know, we are definitely a traditional winery, but we're very, you know, we're always conscious about technologies, and it's really important nowadays. So we've introduced a system in our fermenting tanks where every tank can be monitored closely, or the parameters can be changed, either with our computer or with a smartphone.
And are the majority of the vats these large oak tanks and not necessarily the stainless steel? Are you talking about oak vats?
No, in this case, for the fermentation. For the fermentation, we use stainless steel tanks that are completely computerized.
Okay.
Whereas, of course, for the aging, we use the traditional large oak barrels.
Okay. The wines are distributed worldwide, of course, and I would guess that there is not huge production because land is limited. And so therefore, for people to learn more, in addition to tasting the wines, but if they want to learn more about what's going on in Montalcino, since May of 2008, you launched a blog called Montalcino Report. Talk to us about that blog.
Absolutely. You know, there was a time when, you know, I was looking, just started to work with the winery not too long before. And, you know, as a passionate about wine, I, you know, look around, you know, what other other colleagues in the world do. And, you know, almost every region of the world, it was possible to be online and to see the harvest report, what was happening during the harvest or before or after the harvest in other regions of the world, easily online, was easily accessible. But in Montalcino, in my region, in my hometown, I couldn't find such information. So I decided, well, you know, I could do that myself. So I decided to do this this blog, Montalcino Report, which is not strictly a blog about Ippogione,
yeah,
but it's mainly a blog about the region, about Montalcino, about Brunello, about what's happening in the vineyards, in the cellar, in different times of the year, and also what's happening in the town. So it's really, you know, something that I felt like we didn't have in Montalcino, and I thought it was important to provide those thousands of Brunello lovers around the world with updated information.
And right now on the blog, you're talking about the fact that spring is starting, the vines are starting to bud, and you're doing some tilling under. There was an expression, of course it was translated, so maybe the translation wasn't right, but I've never heard of silly plowing.
Yes, that's sovescio, and that, of course, you know, when we put the grass into the ground,
okay,
and we work, you know, deeply the soil so that we put all these organic material, and which is, of course, all the grass that we have every other row, and moisture into the soil. And that's a beautiful source of energy for the vines.
But where does the word silly come from? Or maybe that's just not a good translation on Google that I was using.
Yeah, no, you know, I looked in a technical dictionary that I, you know, would normally use. I couldn't find a better translation. It's called sovescio in Italian. It's a procedure used for many other crops, and that's
okay.
You know, when all this grass is put into the
soil.
It's
turned over. And by choice, you prefer to use all natural products in the vineyard, so I would guess in the winery as well. And why do you make that conscious choice?
You know, we are lucky where we are in Sant'Angelo in Colle. It's a very favorable location because we are, you know, south-facing. We are only 20 kilometers away from the nearest mountain, the Mount Amiata, and 30 kilometers from the seaside. So the climate is very warm and dry, and there is never need for products, for chemicals in the vineyards. So we use, for, you know, the treatment of the vineyards, we use only copper and sulfur, which are, of course, very natural. We never have to do, like, since my father started working at the winery in 1976, we never had to do antibiotics treatment.
Wow.
Which is amazing. You know,
yeah,
there was no need for it.
Yeah.
So that's that was great for us. And also, you know, we like, as we have an amazing source of byproducts from the wine making and from the olive oil making.
Yes.
And these are all used as natural fertilizers in the soil.
Okay.
You know, nowadays, yeah, I think these are choices very important to do for the environment. And in fact, actually, as another thing that we studied last year, we have installed solar panels in the roof of our cellar.
Wow.
So that's, you know, allow us to be, on average, 100% self-sufficient energy-wise. And that's amazing, you know. And these are important choices to do nowadays. You know, it's for the environment. You see, you know, the summers are always warmer, the harvest is always earlier. That's, you know, it's something that the planet is talking to us. So, you know, we need to respect and use as much natural things as we can. And, of course, the sunlight, you know, we're lucky that we have sunlight all day, and it's always available. So why not using it to provide energy for our cellar?
Is electricity expensive in Sant'Angelo? I know that it's a philosophy choice, but like where I live, the electricity is very, very expensive. Do you ever talk about that with other people as you're traveling around the world?
It is expensive, yes.
Yeah.
We have been talking about that. And of course, you know, we are talking about our computerized tanks. And you can imagine, you know, with all
yes.
the machineries and
yes.
all the tanks working during the harvest.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays we have, we produce about, you know, 600,000 barrels of wine a year. And so that's, you know, a good amount. And of course, it takes a lot of energy. So it's useful to use natural sources like the sun.
And does the 600,000 bottles per year, does that include the Tenuta Ippogione Brunello and also the brand Mazzoni wines?
That is only for the Ippogione wines.
Okay.
So we are talking about Brunello Riserva, Rosso di Montalcino, and also some IGT wines that we make.
Oh, wow. Are the IGT wines brought into the United States?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
We produce a similar blend to the Mazzoni Rosso, which is a blend of Sangiovese and Merlot. We make rosé out of Sangiovese.
Okay.
And we also make a Vermentino Chardonnay blend.
Oh, wow.
The white wine.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I bet that's very good and well-received. We're almost out of time for this first segment before we call your father, but I have a quick question here. Is it traditional for Pinot Grigio to be aged on the lees?
First of all, Pinot Grigio is not the most traditional grape in Tuscany.
Right.
In fact, our Pinot Grigio is sourced in Tuscany on the coast.
Okay.
On the Tuscan coast. But we wanted to make, first of all, it's a cold fermented Pinot Grigio, so that we can keep the freshness high. We do 25 days of fermentation. And then, of course, keeping on the lee, improve all the flavors and all the aromas, make it more complex.
In all the Pinot Grigios I've interviewed about before, that just struck me as being unique. Okay, so we're going to go to a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Alessandro Bendocci, but we're also going to be talking to his father, Fabrizio Bendocci, director and winemaker, and also president of the Brunello Consortium. We'll be right back, and we thank you for listening to Wine and Dine.
Sono Fabrizio Bendocci, General Manager e Winemaker della Tenuta Il Poggione. Potete trovare più informazioni sui nostri vini su www.tenutailpoggione.it.
You're listening to iWine Radio. Well, we're back and we're talking about Brunello di Montalcino wines today with the director and winemaker of Tenuta Il Poggione, Fabrizio Bendocci, and his son Alessandro, who is winemaker and export manager. And Fabrizio, the father, is also the current president of the Brunello Consortio del Vino Brunello di Montalcino, which is the Appalachians Trade Association, founded in 1967. And let me give you a heads up. If you are interested in learning all the specific regulations about the producers, about the Appalachian geographically, etc., you can actually go to the Consortio's website. We will have a link up for you, and you can download an app onto your phone, which would also facilitate driving around if you're going to be visiting in the area as well. So let us start by saying thank you, Fabrizio Bendocci, for joining us today on Wine and Dine.
Grazie, Fabrizio, per essere con noi nel programma Wine and Dine radiofonico.
Bene, ringrazio io per essere stato invitato a partecipare a questo programma.
Okay.
Thank you for inviting me to take part of this radio show.
Alessandro, I really didn't talk to you, and so let's talk to your father, please, by asking, what defines Brunello wines? Because there are people that are growing Sangiovese grape all over the world, but what makes Brunello so special?
Cos'è che definisce il Brunello? Perché ci sono molti che coltivano il Sangiovese in tante parti del mondo, ma cos'è che rende il Sangiovese Brunello per legge?
Allora, il Brunello di Montalcino è una denominazione che si può, dove si produce un vino. Il Brunello di Montalcino è delimitato al solo comune di Montalcino.
So the first of all, the region, because the production of Sangiovese for the Brunello di Montalcino must be Sangiovese must be grown only within the municipality of Montalcino.
Un vino prodotto con sole uve Sangiovese 100%.
And of course, it is a wine made with 100% Sangiovese grapes.
And are the clones or the clone of the Sangiovese used to make Brunello different than Sangiovese used to make other Sangiovese-based wines in other regions in Italy?
I cloni o il clone di Sangiovese usato a Montalcino è diverso e unico rispetto agli altri cloni utilizzati per produrre vini a base di Sangiovese in altre zone d'Italia?
No, all'inizio nella nostra azienda abbiamo, si parla degli anni 50, fatto una selezione massale all'interno dell'azienda ed sono stati selezionati molteplici cloni. Dopo, con ogni azienda ha individuato dei cloni, non solo aziendali, ma anche cloni venduti sul mercato, e pertanto anche altre aziende hanno questi cloni.
So not necessarily, there's not only one specific clone of Sangiovese, but however in the 1950s at Il Poggione we did a muscle selection.
Yes.
Of clones.
Yeah.
Amongst our vineyards.
Okay.
Where we picked clones that we currently use whenever we plant new vines, but then other wineries in the region and also outside of Montalcino, they made their own selections of clones either within their property or also by purchasing clones that were available in the market.
Makes sense. Let's talk about, so let's say that the grapes are picked. What are the regulations for Brunello wines?
Dopo la raccolta delle uve, quali sono le regole minime per la produzione del vino Brunello?
Allora, c'è un disciplinare di produzione che regola la produzione del Brunello. Si parte dalla quantità di uva per ettaro. Innanzitutto Sangiovese grosso, Sangiovese 100%, produzione per ettaro ad oggi 6.000 kg, raccolta quando le uve sono mature, dopo la fermentazione alcolica e la fermentazione malolattica, il vino deve stare obbligatoriamente per almeno 24 mesi in botte e minimo 4 mesi di affinamento in bottiglia prima della commercializzazione, che comunque non può avvenire prima di 5 anni dalla vendemmia.
So of course the harvest must be the yield, maximum yield per hectare must be 6,000 kilos of grape for each hectare.
Okay.
And after the harvest and the alcoholic and malolactic fermentations, the wine has to age for a minimum time of 24 months in oak barrels.
Okay.
And then for a minimum in the bottle for 4 months. Minimum time is 4 months. But the wine cannot be marketed before 5 years. From the harvest, starting with the year of the harvest.
And what does Tenuta Il Poggione exceed those limitations? Do you bottle age longer or oak age longer?
La Tenuta Il Poggione va oltre questi limiti, sia in termini di invecchiamento in legno che in termini di affinamento in bottiglia.
Sì, allora noi ci siamo dati un codice di regolamentazione interno e abbiamo spostato il periodo di affinamento in botte per il Brunello ad almeno 30 mesi per l'annata e ad almeno 40 mesi per la tipologia riserva Vigna e Paganelli, e facciamo anche un affinamento in bottiglia più lungo rispetto ai 4 mesi obbligatori.
So we give ourselves stricter rules than what's required by law for the Brunello. So we are doing, for the regular Brunello, we do at least 30 months in oak barrels.
Okay.
For the Brunello Riserva, we do at least 40 months.
Wow.
In barrels. And we also do a longer bottle aging than what's required by the regulations.
Questo c'è sempre una ragione. Non per volere essere i primi della classe o quelli diversi, ma perché abbiamo visto che i nostri vini, essendo molto strutturati, molto tannici, hanno bisogno di un periodo di affinamento in legno più lungo rispetto al tradizionale. Non solo, ma negli anni abbiamo visto che l'utilizzo della botte grande, come abbiamo sempre fatto per rispettare la tradizione, la tipicità, abbiamo anche cambiato la tipologia del legno, iniziando a usare rovere di Allier francese al posto del rovere di Slavonia che utilizzavamo.
And we have this choice to have longer agings, not because we are trying to be, you know, better than the other producers, just because we noticed that as our wines are particularly full-bodied and rich in tannins, they require a longer aging in oak barrels. And also the choice of the barrels. In the years, we, of course, we still use large barrels that are 5,000 liters in size.
Yeah.
And we moved from the oak from Slavonia that we used to have in the past to 100% French oak from Allier.
Oh. And Allier is a tighter grain oak?
Il legno di Allier è un legno con una grana più fine e più stretta.
Una grana più fine che dà un tannino più vellutato, più setoso, meno tannico e astringente. Secondo noi, almeno per il nostro Sangiovese da Brunello, è migliore.
It is an oak with a finer grain that provides tannins that are more velvety and silkier, and
okay.
Of course less astringent tannins.
Yes, okay.
And so those are ideal for our to us for our Brunello.
Your father is a traditionalist, but he is also one of the Appalachian's most progressive voices. In the couple minutes we have left, can I ask him his opinions, how global warming is affecting growing grapes in Brunello, and what is his proposition?
Dice so che comunque sei un produttore tradizionalista, ma sei anche una delle voci più progressiste, in genere aperto alle novità. Qual è il tuo punto di vista sul riscaldamento globale e quali sono le proposte che fai in questo senso?
Allora, il problema del riscaldamento globale è un problema grande che non interessa solo il comprensorio di Montalcino. Vivo questa azienda dal 1976 e in questi 38 vendemmie ho visto un cambiamento climatico importante. Iniziavamo a raccogliere le uve Sangiovese da Brunello ai primi di ottobre e oggi si raccolgono queste uve di Sangiovese ai primi di settembre. Questo per spiegare quanto ha inciso il riscaldamento globale. Il problema lo abbiamo affrontato chiedendo aiuto al Ministero dell'Agricoltura, e questo proprio in questi giorni ha emesso una circolare dove è scritto che, essendo cambiato il clima, venendo sempre più spesso estate calde e siccitose, le aziende che producono Brunello possono utilizzare nei loro vigneti l'irrigazione di soccorso, ma non solo.
There is a big problem. The global warming is a big problem, and not only for the region of Montalcino. My father has been at the winery since 1976, and has seen a tremendous change, especially with the time of the harvest. We used to harvest in October, and now we're starting to harvest the beginning of September.
Wow.
And this issue has been faced by asking, you know, for support to the Ministry of Agriculture, which has just released a memo where they say that it is allowed for Montalcino producers to use emergency irrigations in a situation of a particularly severe drought.
Okay.
That's just recently has just been issued by the Ministry of Agriculture.
Yeah, we're talking really really current.
Yes,
dall'altra parte, il buon agricoltore, perché non dimentichiamoci che i grandi vini rossi per l'80% si fanno in vigna, non in cantina, deve affrontare la gestione del vigneto in maniera diversa rispetto al passato.
And on the other hand, the good farmer, as the great red wines are made for the majority in the vineyard, has to manage the vineyard in different ways compared to the past.
Sì.
Makes sense. Well, I would like to thank you both, Fabrizio Bindocchi, director and winemaker for Tenuto Il Poggione and president of the Consorzio del Vino Brunello del Montalcino, and a son, Alessandro Bindocchi, winemaker and export manager. It's been our huge pleasure meeting you today on Wine and Dine.
Vorrei ringraziare, è stato un grosso piacere per Wine and Dine di ospitarci a questa intervista.
Bene, ringraziamo anche noi e speriamo, se ci sarà necessità, saremo a disposizione in un prossimo futuro per altre interviste. Grazie a lei e grazie a radioascoltatori che ci ascoltano.
We thank you for the hospitality. Of course, we are looking forward of talking again with you with our wines, and thank you also to your listeners.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iwineradio.com.
Hi, this is Eric Asimov. I'm the chief wine critic of the New York Times.
Hi, my name's Jancis Robinson. I'm a wine writer, master of wine. Please visit me at my website and find out more about how I particularly enjoy sharing the lovely and delicious world of wine.